a few things, you know, we're seeing slowly some players skating back with teams, some goaltenders. I still don't believe the NHL is going to play until, I'm going to say, after January 15th. And I'm basing that on previous years when they started on the 19th and 20th. And with the new wrinkle of the owners wanting to alter the existing CBA. And based on history, the PA and the NHL don't always agree quickly on things. So with that said, with goalies come back, Kev, what is – you've worked with a lot of goalies over the years. Like, what's the – what's the biggest mistake teams make when they bring their goalies back and introduce them into these casual captain skates?
Oh, this is a tough. Well, there's kind of two parts to this. There's what, like, I think there are enough goalies that think this is going to start, or at least the possibility for it starting early enough that we're seeing them come back early. Now, I wouldn't include Braden Holtby in that discussion. I know he made headlines for his inability to get his tortoises across the border here in Vancouver over the weekend. But this was his plan all along, was sort of come this early. And I think part of that is a chance, you know, to sort of get his family acclimatized to a new place. But some of these other guys that are like Elvis Merzlikins, I talked to him 2 weeks ago, and he was just starting to get back on the ice, and he had his goalie coach from Lugano, Michael Lawrence, who's a Canadian. When they were all set to work on a whole bunch of stuff, and it seemed like he was set there. All of a sudden, I saw on Instagram yesterday, he's on a plane to Columbus. So I do think there is a bit of a sense from some of these guys who are heading back to their cities that this might be closer than maybe you or I believe, Jason, and they want to be there and through their two-week quarantine so they can get into and take part in these workouts. Now, once the workouts start, yeah, I think the danger is, and this is where things might be different this time than a regular offseason, but the danger is you're just throwing them into captain skates where it's a typical NHL practice, there's not a goalie coach involved, and they're not getting that time one-on-one with a goalie coach. Now, there are different rules at different times of the year, and different teams pay different attention to them in terms of whether a goalie coach can be involved. The official designation of sort of phase two right now, if that's what teams are going, or guys are going back and being a part of with teams, that allows for coaches to be involved to an extent. And so maybe the risk, and the risk is you're just playing, even in practice type environment, the drills aren't set up for goaltenders, they aren't game realistic, and then when you get into the shinny type of sort of, you know, just games that typically end those captain skates, it's even worse. It's all east-west. If you either cheat or you get scored on, that's what most goalies say. And if you cheat for a long enough time, like say 6 weeks before the start of the season, now you're building habits. So that's the risk. But because of the phase two designation right now, I think there is an ability, or more so than there has been in the past, for goalie coaches to be officially involved and make sure that if my guy is facing a lot of this stuff in that part of skate, in my time with him, we're at least going to make sure we drill down on some specifics technically so that those habits that can be formed by the other type of skate, you know, don't become problematic. Like, yeah, okay, 6 weeks of shinny is a bad thing, but we can mitigate those things with the work we do one-on-one, and I think you're going to see more of that this year than you've seen in the past. Whereas in the past, there were some teams like, I mean, the Washington Capitals would be running videos on their official, like, website with the goalie coach out on the ice with their goalies in, like, August, and other teams were prohibiting their goalie coach based on their interpretation of the rules of being involved with their goalies in August. So it's, you know, I think a lot of that variance will be out the window. I think most teams will be allowed to be on the ice with a goalie guy, and that'll help at least with some of those situations. But it's a long time if the season doesn't start in early January for these guys to sort of be in that situation.
Kevin Woodley from Ingo Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Now, Kevin, Mike Smith, would it be fair to say he, like, changed his off-season goalie coach?
Fair to say he's changed his, well, he's working out with Adam Francilia.
Okay.
And that's something that I guess we're delivering the scoop on that right now. I can't say what they're working on specifically, but obviously Adam is a guy who has worked with a ton of NHL goaltenders. I mean, the most sort of famous example is Connor Hellebuck. Working with him for the first time the year before he had his first Vezina nomination, and continuously throughout. He's working with Matt Murray right now, trying to change some mechanics there. And he's very good at what he does. Like I said, he's got close to a dozen NHL goalies that are his clients. And so Mike moved back to Kelowna this summer with his family, and he started working out with him. And I think this is the thing where I don't know that at this point in his career you're going to see massive changes in Mike Smith. There are things he's done, and done successfully for a long time in terms of how he plays, that I don't know that you're going to necessarily try and, you know, make wholesale changes to. But I will say that the work that Adam does in terms of the biomechanics and the physiology of sort of goaltending and balance and you know, tracking and how these things all tie in terms of stance and footwork and hands and maintaining active hands are all going to fit very well with the philosophies of Dustin Schwartz. So without being able to tell you, because they didn't share it with me, the specifics of what they're working on, as soon as I heard that he was working with him, I saw this as a really good thing for the Edmonton Oilers, both because Adam's done some stuff for us at InGoal Magazine, for our premium site, where he actually walks through the exercises he does and explains them for young goalies and shows them how they can incorporate it in their programs. Having seen him work there, having seen him work with NHL goalies in person in Kelowna and through that Net 360 camp, you know, dating back to 2015, so 5 years now, I know how good he is. It was a positive there. I also saw it as a very good fit and direct tie-in for a lot of the things that Dustin Schwartz would stress and would sort of see as a foundation for goaltending. And again, not to the point where you're going to ask Mike Smith to reinvent himself. Because if you do you try and change too much, that becomes a negative. But there are probably going to be some positives here that will tie into the season quite seamlessly. And I think the other positive of this is, like, Mike Smith, at this age, this far into his career, you know, being open to and actively seeking out change and looking for ways to continuously get better. And you know, hey, there are a lot of guys who are a lot younger than him and a lot less established stop doing that. And I think it's a positive, you know, just another sort of check, on his side of the ledger in terms of that competitiveness that we see come out on the ice, but understanding that it goes beyond that desire, that competitive nature extends into the work he does in the off season. I mean, you've seen him physically, Jason. Like he's a specimen physically, but how you work out in terms of looking like you're in great shape and working out in a way that ties directly to how a goaltender moves, which is very unique, are not always the same thing in terms of where the range of motion needs to be, what's most important, and what triggers in terms of how we move in the crease allow us to maintain that balance and range of motion compared to, say, a typical athlete or even a forward in hockey.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, it's interesting you talk about Francilia, and Dustin Schwartz having similar philosophies. Do you find, does the goalie coach of a team communicate with the goalie coach in the off season? Because I know a lot of guys, like Koskinen has a different goalie coach. Like, how does that work?
Kind of depends. I think it varies, but I think, you know, most do. You're going to have, listen, good goalie coaches communicate with the guys that their guys work with. And in a lot of cases, like, that's pretty common. And, you know, it's funny because I've talked to goalie coaches that work in the summer with guys that will reach out to the NHL goalie coach and make sure that everything's on the same page. Hey, where do you want our focus to be on this? They have a voice in it. I've written stories about, you know, including with Dusty and with Jordan Sigalet, where, you know, they're looking for to make sure that the lines of communication are open with the guys that they work, that their athletes work with in the summer, so that everybody's working towards the same goals. And that's not always the case, to be honest with you. There are some organizations where if the off-season guy reaches out and say, hey, what do you want? You know, like, there's not as much open back and forth, but I think that's the majority of the times. Where it gets interesting a little bit is when you've got a goalie working with another NHL goalie coach, I guess potentially from another organization, and it happens a lot more than I think people realize. It just, hey, you come up with a guy, you work with him as a kid, and that's where, you know, that's still his hometown, that's still where he goes in the summer, and so he, you know, he keeps working with that guy. I still think even there'd be some communication, maybe a little less so, but for the most part, everybody tries to stay on the same page, because there is no benefit in having guys being pulled in very different directions, and that's the risk if you don't keep that communication up. Now, truth be told, there are some NHL guys, and I would say there's less and less as time goes on, but there are some NHL goalie coaches that just, once the season is over, they sort of give their guy a plan, and they aren't as involved as other coaches once we get into the summer. And even from a communication standpoint with guys, with goalie coaches that their guy might be working with. But that's kind of, there's less and less of that as we go on.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com. So, Kevin, you talk about that, you know, hey, due to Smith's age and everything, we're probably not going to see massive changes. But, you know, what about Francilia? Just, you know, when we look at how Mike Smith, you know, he's aggressive, his puck handling's going to stay the same or whatever. But when you watched him last year, is there any small little technical thing you would think they might work on?
Oh, that's, again, it'd be easy if they'd just tell me, but didn't get that. My guess would be that it'll be from a balance standpoint. You know, when we talk about, I don't know that Mike's going to narrow up his stance. That would be one thing that we've seen a lot of those goaltenders sort of, you know, and I've talked about this isn't just Adam Francilia. This is the way the league's going. Locked in low and wide, too, as Ian Clark likes to say here in Vancouver, too low, too wide, too soon, is a recipe for disaster as the game gets increasingly east-west. So could we see a narrowing of the stance maybe? I would think you'll see it in balance in terms of if it's working well, he'll be more balanced, and that will show up maybe in stance, maybe in hand position. Where it will show up the most noticeably, my guess would be in the amount of times that Mike Smith ends up splayed out on his belly. Mm-hmm. And because those are all tied to those other elements of balance. If you get too wide, if your hands come too far back, you're going to end up, when you react and turn and reach, your balance pitches forward. And it's the same thing we used to see with Roberto Luongo here in Vancouver. They used to call it the Lou flop. And it was all tied into sort of the biomechanics of how you move and how you watch the puck and how you let the puck come to you. You either maintain balance longer or you get extended, and your only way to access pucks or to extend further is to allow that body to pitch forward. Like, that's your body's natural sort of counterbalance to the way you moved. So if things are going well, I would expect you would see less of that. Without having them tell me exactly what they're working on, that would be your sort of the end result you would be looking for is a little less on the belly.
Okay. That makes sense. And that's a visual that Oilers fans can get behind. I don't think there's any...
And the one thing, though, is like that, like, you can't take the compete out of Mike Smith's game either, right?
No.
Like, and sometimes when you battle, you're going to end up in scramble situations. So, you know, it's not like ending up in that position is a bad thing, because that guy competes like crazy, and that's important. I guess it would be how soon in a sequence you see him end up in that position.
Quickly, NHL Network had their top 10 goalies: Vasilevsky, Rask, Hellebuck, Bishop, Binnington, Price, Kemper, Lehner, Markstrom, and Hudobin. How is Bishop fourth? Am I missing something here?
Well, and to me, the interesting one is, and you know, I like to say that goaltending never exists in a vacuum, but you end up with Hudobin and Bishop in the top 10, and you know, if there's one thing those guys have in common, would be kind of obvious the team they play on. You know, like. And a lot of names on this board are kind of in the same boat, like in terms of, you know, the type of structure they play behind. Darcy Kemper as well, right, would be a question mark there. Yeah, that's a tough one. But at the end of the day, like, Bishop does have a pretty good track record. And so I can see these lists are tough, and I can see how it's really hard to leave him off when, you know, when he's healthy, he's shown an ability to play really well. You know, as I've said to you before, to me, being available for selection is a big part of the job of being a number one goaltender, and at some point, the fact he's so often not should count against you when we're making a top 10 list. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. Hudobin kind of falls into the same boat. We saw what he's capable of doing, but you can't ignore the team that he does it behind. And throughout his career, what have we seen? Playing in Boston twice, excellent results. Goes somewhere else in between those two stops and ends up in the American Hockey League. Now back in Dallas, great fit because of the way they defend. And this isn't anything against him. He's a really good goaltender, but he needs to be in that type of structure, I believe, to have success. And I think track record kind of shows that. To me, the bigger one, I guess, as much as we could debate all these things, is who's not on there? Like, you know, like, I know he's young in his career, but I have trouble with, like I got Carter Hart on that list. And I got Frederik Andersen on that list, even though he's coming off a down season last year. I guess I'd put it this way. By the end of next year, I expect Frederik Andersen to be on everybody's top 10 list. Let's put it that way.
Kev, always great stuff, man. We will chat with you next week. Have an awesome day.
Perfect. Thanks, Jason.